Coming up on TMS, we did not burn down the Bellagio.
Do not get in that high roller pod.
Ugh, you don't want to know why. That was one old lady.
United also has scorpion problems.
Great. Put that on top of beating people up and dragging them out problems. It's raining eggs.
It's raining eggs. Hallelujah. It's raining eggs. I want my needles in a vending machine.
You could have just kept going. It would have been fine.
I was thinking about it. I was going to see how long I could go and not have you stop me.
The whole top of the show is totally fine. Also, major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Call your post office with the zip code numbers you need and use them here and here for the fastest possible mail delivery. Remember, only you can put zip in your postal system.
Wonder Dog, don't you know it's dangerous to leave a bucket lying around?
The Morning Stream creams your skin while you wash.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for April 17th, 2017. That's the 17-17. 4-17-17.
Oh, wow.
Hey, look at that.
Wow. Yeah. If only there was a 17th month.
I know. That'd be great. Smarch. it's the episode number 1245, which is not significant. I just thought I'd say it today. Why not?
It's 1245.
It's 1245, everybody. Do you know where your children are? They should be at school, I guess. Hopefully they're at school. Hey, we're back. We're doing it. We got back from Vegas. Brian and I both took a whirlwind trip, though yours was more whirlwindy than mine.
Yeah.
This
was long-winded.
So we should probably get it out of the way right away here. Did you or did you not achieve your goal of the 20-whatever-hour thing? Like, did that all pan out
overnight
the way you wanted?
So, let's just get right into
right
it, Scott.
In. Lay right
Hi,
in.
Hi, I'm Brian Ibbett. Yeah.
This is Brian Ibbett. I'm Scott Johnson, and this is the Vegas Recap. Go!
So I did. I'll say it right up front right now. I'll come clean. Mm. After you and I talked on Monday,
yeah,
I went ahead and just said, you know what? I've got a free couple of nights at the Monte Carlo. I'll just get those, use those up because I've got to use them, right?
Right.
Use them or lose them. So got into town. First thing I did from the airport, boom, Uber. Nathan took me in a red Nissan Leaf from the airport to a...
Nice.
Actually, it was a Lyft. From the airport to the Monte Carlo, I dropped off. I brought on this trip,
yeah,
a laptop bag with inside it was my iPad, various, you know, chargery, cabley things, whatever,
mm-hmm,
a pair of underwear, a t-shirt, a toothbrush, and a stick of deodorant.
All right. And
all I took.
And it's a stick of butter.
That's like, I could have easily brought like a whole, you know, carry-on bag with a bunch of clothes and my CPAP and whatever. Could have brought all that. I didn't. Okay.
Right.
Immediately went from the... So I seriously almost could have used the same Uber, but ran my stuff up to the room, dropped it off, came back down, went over to Topgolf, met you guys there at a little bit before 6,
yep,
and did not go back to the room until 8:30-ish the next morning.
Which
so,
is a pretty dang close to your full... I mean, that's pretty much your goal. That's pretty much
that was the goal, was the overnight thing. It wasn't really to never go back to a
to civilization,
to the hotel. But it was, you know, what, 15 hours of and that's not even really 15 hours of being awake. That's 15 hours of being in Vegas and being awake, because I got up at 6 o'clock Tuesday morning, like I always do.
So. Sure. You were up for...
I was up for
29 hours, 28
hours? 29 hours. And that's... And really, I got back to the room. I honestly sat there, laid down in bed, maybe took a nap for about 45 minutes. I was too lazy to turn my iPad off. So anytime there was like a tweet or a message in Facebook Messenger, it kept going off.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there laying in bed, and it's like, oh, it's just over there going off.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna get up. You know what? I'm gonna go to the MGM pool. Because that was the reason I picked the Monte Carlo. They're doing work on the Monte Carlo, doing a whole bunch of
Right, because the pool's not gonna work there. They give you pool access next door.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So right, even if I wouldn't have gotten the free rooms, I would have paid the $30 for a room at Monte Carlo rather than paying the $60 for a room at MGM, because either way, get to use the same pool.
Yeah, either way, the same sweaty bodies are in the same body of water, so it's fine.
Exactly.
So you went over there, and did you? I mean, was that?
I did shower, by the way. Yes, that was the other thing I did use the room for, is that I did shower.
Okay, because there's a lot of bets going around the community about where Brian was going to rinse himself off and how public it would be. After all of
worry that, not, but. It was not in a public location. I did it in the sanctity and safety of my very own nifty hotel.
Well, chronologically speaking, the way it worked out is I got into Vegas at about noon. We left at 5 a.m. here. And I'd forgotten that they changed 80 miles per hour all the way there. Like it used to be just a test for a little stretch of distance, but now it's 80 all the way. I don't know when
that
changed.
Except that little tiny stretch during those precarious canyons of Arizona. That little tiny cut corner you take in Arizona.
Yeah. The little I call it the pod racing section of the drive.
It totally is. Yeah. Is there still construction going on in there, by the way?
A little bit. Yeah. Not as much. But there were sand people up on top going, or, as I was going by. So that was good. So anyway, we drive through. We get there. We're early. We beat traffic. Morning traffic's gone. It's no big deal. We pull into Vegas. We can't get our room right away because they're not, it's early. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of driving around, chilling, doing stuff. I can't remember where all we went, but we eventually ended up getting checked in at about 2, I guess. And then I talked to you, at like 5 or 5:30?
I think I was just about to get on the plane.
Yeah, you were about to leave. And then I talked to you right as you got to the Monte Carlo and you were dumping your shit off. Right. After Nathan, the Leaf drive. Oh, can I ask you a question about the Leaf? Did it make any sound at all, the Leaf?
No, it was really quiet.
Okay, because that's pure electric, right? That thing? Isn't that the deal with the Leaf? I think it is.
I think so. Yeah, I think it is.
It's not hybrid. Anyway, no. So that's neither here nor there. I call you. We're out by the pool, one of the famous pools there at the Grand that Brian's always talking about. He says, hey, I'm heading over to Topgolf. I'm like, sweet, we don't know where it is, but we'll find it. So Kim and I walk over to the Topgolf. I walk in. You're there. Tony's there. Mm-hmm. John from freaking Kentucky is there.
Right, John, who made a special trip out to Vegas just for this, this little meetup.
It's insane. So you got Steve and Lynn, great couple. She's due with a new baby soon. Going to be their second. Super, super happy and glad to meet them. His beard is epic.
it is, yes.
And she was a total sweetheart. Anyway, they're there. Tony, who lives in Vegas, is also there. Mm-hmm. Tony's a character, man. That guy is a character.
Tony is always on, man.
Yep. The Sandovals have no problem.
Unless there's a camera and then Tony freezes in the same expression, regardless of where that camera is coming from.
Yeah. I trained him like that over in Afghanistan or wherever he was at, I think. That's right. Just make this face. Government secret. Then there was John, like I said, from Kentucky. What the hell? He flew out just for this meetup. He's insane, but he was awesome to hang around with. And James and Svet were there, of course, same-sex Mary representing. Mike and Angela. Wait, there are two Mikes there? Who's the other Mike?
There are two Mikes. Mike Crosley.
Oh, right.
And Mike and Angela.
Yep, that's right. And then you had
newly married Mike and Angela.
Yeah, the ones that were engaged at Nerdtacular 2013.
Right. Yep.
Finally actually tied that damn knot, and now they're married. So, congrats to them. It's always good to see them. And then Mitzula, of course.
Of course.
Showed up and gave me all the trivia I would ever need to know about anything in Vegas.
He was our Sherpa. We called him that the whole night. Yeah. He's like, where's our Las Vegas Sherpa taking us now? Because even though Tony and James and Svet are from Las Vegas, outside of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. They don't spend the time on the strip like Mitzula does. He works there at, he used to work at the Rio. I think he's moving to Caesars, working the sports book.
Yep.
Fixing the numbers, basically saying that, all right, yeah, you see, the Bills are going to take this for 4 points over the Jets. Blah, yep, blah, blah.
Totally. And that place, by the way, I was in that area of the Caesars during the week. That thing's they've blown that out, the sports stuff. It's huge in there now. So
yeah, it used to be, It used to be a smaller area between the, what was it called? Skank, the nightclub, I think right there. It was called Skank.
And, if it wasn't called Skank,
that and the food court.
They should all be called Skank. I like your thinking there. That's pretty good. But yeah, no, that I saw that and went, is this where Missoula did work in? This is awesome in here. This is like some kind of big fancy deal. And then I got to throw out GoCo. In Iraq, this is a group of dudes who are all stationed in Iraq right now doing drone work.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, it's old pals of Tony's, and apparently they love the show and listen to this and Film Sack religiously and have, like, my artwork hanging up, and there was some fight over my artwork at one point. Like, I don't know what's going on. You guys have been over there too long because we are not worthy, but I guess shout out to the GoCo guys. Right. I don't even know what it stands for. It means something, GoCo. I don't know what. Pokemon GoCo. I don't know what's happening.
GoCo. Well, yeah, but the fact that they're downloading TMS on their little 56K satellite modem business out there and then listening to it as a group out there.
That's right. Taxpayers are helping. So well done, America. You have put us in the ears of our
fine men and
women.
Maybe we can afford that. I don't know. Get them a higher level action tech modem or something like that. Whatever the...
U.S. Robotics.
U.S. Robotics. There's a name I haven't heard in years. It's
been a long time. I don't think they're anything.
Maybe Gary. Anymore. Gary, hook him up with a Lantronix something or other. I'm sure there's something that you can send out there.
You know, Gary from Lantronix, that guy?
Just make sure it's sealed because sand gets in everywhere. I hate sand.
So we hung out with them, and then after... And by the way, Topgolf. Holy shit, that's fun.
Wasn't that a blast?
Yes, and you're not even a golfer, and you had even said this to me before. You're like, I don't really like golf, but they've gamified it in a way that is so cool. And I thought, we have one of those here, and I never hear anyone talk about it. I had low, low expectations, even right up until I went into the back entrance of that place and thought, well, this is a warehouse. This looks like shit. And we go inside. It is awesome in there.
It is. Yeah, it's a blast. And you can be a good golfer, you can be a crummy golfer, you can be brand new to playing golf. Angela, I think, had never swung a club before with the exception of like mini golf. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, I mean, you hit the ball, it's going to roll into a target, or it may bounce into a target, you may nail a target. I mean, I was lucky as heck. I was pounding them back into the far reaches of the driving range there. Yeah. Got a trench shot, some points for hitting the back trench, be underneath the TVs. Mm-hmm. That was a proud moment for
me. You were nailing that stuff. I don't know what you were on or doing or whatever.
But... I don't either. I don't usually play golf that well, although I had tons of slices that would have gone into a Koval Road or Koval Lane or whatever that road is that goes alongside. If there weren't for some nets right there, I probably would have hit Nathan in the Nissan Leaf, honestly.
Two prostitutes and one biker were killed today.
Knocked the crack right out of that guy's hand.
But yeah, that was really fun. And you know what? I don't do it very much either. And at the top of it, you could tell that it's been a while and it was super rusty. By the end, though, you know, whacking balls. Felt all right.
Kim got up there and did it. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was really cool.
Really, really fun. I loved it. So now we got this big trip to the one here planned for the whole family to go do.
Oh, good. Oh, see, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that was really great. Obviously, you can only rent what you can get, but the upper deck people seem like they maybe had an advantage, maybe, or maybe they
didn't. Totally. No, they totally do. Because being up higher, you can, it takes less effort to just tip it into one of those red targets up front.
Yeah. And they have a pool at the very top. Somebody said, I didn't see that, but that's awesome. I don't think they have that here. Probably
it would have been
not.
A little more expensive for us to be up top because it is adults only. Mm. There could be little kids. I think there were little kids all around us, and we weren't very careful about not dropping some F-bombs.
Yeah, I mean, I said something about a wiener or something, and I realized, oh, crap, there's like a toe-headed blonde boy like 5 feet from me. What am I talking? That's not good to do. But yeah, that was really fun. And then from there, we went casino hopping, just a few places everybody
MGM
wanted to see.
Grand for Level Up.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. We went there, and Brian and I did DDR and four player. There's video of this. It's real bad. So if you guys want to see some horrible DDR action, check it out. It's out there on the internet now.
Right, four player.
Air hockey.
Basketball. You and Kim shot hoops.
Yeah, that was fun. And by the way, I'm pissed. Still pissed. At that giant Pac-Man thing. So there's this, people have probably seen this. It's a giant Pac-Man LED, but it's super low res and it's cool as heck. And it just lines up against a wall and it's just a huge Pac-Man screen. There are three problems. One, it's a buck to play. Now, if you're going to charge me a buck per play, you best have everything working right.
Well, yeah.
Or it's really not worth it. So I sit down to play that, or stand up to play that thing. And first thing that jumps out, I guess that's five things that are wrong. First thing that jumps out is there's a big graphical glitch that every time Pac-Man gets to close to one side or the other, a big like vector line attaches him to the corner of the screen. It's purely a glitch. And it's annoying. You can't pay attention because the stupid lines, this bright yellow line.
You guys just didn't play so well you hit the kill screen?
I wish, dude. I wish. And then, okay, well, that actually brings me to my next point. I played a lot of Pac-Man in the day. I had a cocktail pack. I have one in the house right now. It's just not working. When I was a kid, I played it incessantly. And it's the wrong game. The patterns are all wrong. None of the ghosts behave the way they're
supposed
to. Oh, really?
They've changed, like, so they're not using the original ROMs or anything like that.
They must not be. It looks like it, but actual play, it's not. And also, everyone who plays old video games can confirm this. The fruit or the Galaxian or the key or whatever,
right?
They're not floating around the way they do in Ms. Pac-Man.
It's a Ms. Pac-Man thing.
Exactly, Brian. And this thing had it floating around. It was always changing, too, like Vegas style. Like, and it just kept moving around. And I went, now that's not in. This is not it. This is not the Pac-Man I know, right?
Right.
Then the fourth or fifth thing that's wrong, all that I can live with. But if you're going to charge me $1, your joysticks, and I mean both of them because I tried this twice, they need to freaking work.
Right.
They were so banged up by who knows how many drunk hands have held those things.
Right. Little shorts in them, basically.
Oh, it was killing me. I couldn't do the turns right, and I was dying for no reason, and I was just, like, so pissed at that Pac-Man machine. So it's a very specific thing. I know I'm obsessing, but damn it. If you're going to have your giant Pac-Man, give me a joystick that turns right.
Well, take that dollar that you're getting per player on that thing and make it work. Make it, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're
making big money. Anyway, best part of that whole thing, though, was when we walked in there. It was like, 10 of us or 8 of us or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the first thing somebody says, oh, come look at these, like, Surface tables. They have all these games you can play on these tables. Right, and it was true. It was like a big Surface screen table.
Cocktail table or bar tables where you basically sit, you watch the game, order drinks.
Mm-hmm. You need to play a quick game of Scrabble or whatever is on there.
Right.
And I walk up to it and I go, oh, this is cool. Let me launch one of these. And I click it and a giant air screen comes up and never goes away again.
Right. It's like a one of those retry, abort, fail.
It was some kind of Android bug or some weird thing that was happening. So that sucked. And then,
the fact that all the nerds, so here we are surrounded by video games and tabletops and a bar and casino and stuff like that. And 8 of the 10 of us are sitting there trying to diagnose the problem with the Surface table. Like, well, maybe if you click up here, or maybe we need to, is there a way to control alt delete on this thing?
Does anybody have an SD card? We could try to. Totally. We were all like, and then we were all like, what are we doing? Let's go play the things that we came here to play. So we went and did all that. And then something else funny happened in there, and I can't remember what it was. Something cracked me up good. And I
saw the Sigma Derby with the little plastic horses.
Yeah. And here's how dumb I am, by the way.
Yeah.
So there's an arm wrestle station that looks like the ones they used in the Over the Top movie. Right. And Brian, in true form, of course, is doing the over the top thing. When the minute he gets there, he goes, I'm going to take you over the top or whatever.
Sure.
And all I could think of was Sammy Hagar and all that. So
it's
great. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to try this. So I get in there with Tony, and Tony doesn't whoop me, but he beats me.
Uh-huh.
All right. The guy's, you know, he's been through some training. I'm just going to say I normally do okay at arm wrestling, but he beat me. And I was like,
You play Call of Duty. He lived Call of Duty.
Right. So I do this and I lose and I'm like, well, damn it. And then Kim says, well, I'll do it. And I said, oh, sweet. I'm going to arm wrestle my wife. This will give me some real redemption here. So I get on there with Kim and she's got, you know, it's got the pads and the things you hold and everything.
Before you even go any further, you know, going into this, it's a no-win situation.
Yeah. Oh, no. I knew that. Absolutely.
You
this
beat
was just
your wife.
Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase that. If you win arm wrestling your wife, you lose. And if she wins, you lose.
Right. But how ironic it is that you said it the way you said it, because here's what happened.
If you beat your wife.
We sit down or we stand up. We do the thing. It's a quick win. And I throw my arms in the air and say without thinking, and I know it's going to shock everybody listening to this show that I say things without thinking sometimes. I yell as loud as I can in this section of the MGM. I beat my wife. In a very joking manner.
I didn't hear that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was all a joke, just like, of course you beat your wife, you know, whatever. Like, what do you expect? And this and that. But the term I beat my wife and yelling it as if I'm proud of it sounded so wrong immediately coming out of my mouth. And all those guys are laughing at me and did not go the way I'd planned. It was
Vegas,
fun.
You know, I think if you said that in any other city in the United States, you'd get a reaction. But in a casino in Vegas, I think it's like, Back to mashing the buttons on the Walking Dead slots.
It's like, you too? Okay. Well, I'll just keep moving on.
Exactly. Why do you think I'm here?
So then we went and got pizza at the secret pizza place and hung around for, I think, Tony's wife, but then she had to go somewhere, so we didn't do that. And it was right around then, what was that, like midnight?
Yeah, it was about midnight. Yeah.
I'm going, all right, I think I'm good. We had pizza. I'm going to let go, and you're going to go on and do your thing.
Right. You made it to midnight, and you remarked that it was the anniversary of the release of the very first Mad Max movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mad Max 1 had come out that day, or that midnight day. I guess that would have been Friday morning, midnight.
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning, sorry. Get up there Tuesday, you're right. Wednesday morning, midnight, and somebody said something like, what did they say? He says, it was so late, or it was getting so late, and I was getting tired tonight. Somebody that I've been up since 5, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody had said, oh, gee, Scott, like we never knew you liked Mad Max. And in my head, I thought they were being serious. I'm like, oh, really? Because let me tell you something about the more recent film. I really enjoyed that recent, and it's like, oh, no, wait, they know that I know.
Wow. Yeah, okay, you were tired.
It was really stupid, but that pizza was great, and it was awesome. But we parted ways, and it's from here, I don't really know what happened. So you have to tell. Apparently, I know about the poop in the sky thing, which we can either tell today or save, but there's there's some other story you had that you said the other day, wait till I tell you this wee hours in the morning bar thing.
Oh, no, that is the story.
Oh, is that the one? All right, all right. Everyone, sit down for a second. Yeah. Brian is going to bring out the big guns. Tuck in. This sounds like my worst nightmare, and I missed it.
All right, so a little preface here. This was about an hour after we let you go. We had made our way down the strip through Planet Hollywood and around the Cosmo and over to the Link, because they've got a giant observation wheel called the High Roller up there.
Yeah, it's like a Ferris wheel, kind of.
It's like a Ferris wheel. It goes way slower than a Ferris wheel. Yeah. Takes half an hour to get all the way around that thing, and that is going to come up as a point, I think, as we tell the story.
Time, as we know it as human beings, definitely plays a role in how this worked out.
It does. So we got into the area where you go and you get your tickets, and we kind of split up from there. James from Same Sex Mary and I went to get tickets, and everybody else kind of grouped with Mitsula because they all had to go to the bathroom. So they went up to this lounge area, which is kind of the last stop before you get on the ride. It's right like the last stop before you go through the line and get into these pods.
How big are these? Just for clarification, how many people can you fit in a pod?
You can fit about 20 people comfortably in one of those pods. And we were doing the drinky car, which means basically as soon as those doors close, there's a bartender in there that will continuously serve you alcoholic beverages for the duration of the ride. And they even let you know you're able to take a drink off this thing with you. So make sure, you know, if you're finishing that last one at 29 minutes and 59 seconds, you have me make you another one. Wow. They want to make sure that you're good and hammered when you make your way back to
you. And are these all buy drinks you got to buy while you're in there, or are these drinks?
No, they're free. It's all you can drink.
Okay.
You paid your ticket. You get in that car, you tip your mouth open, and they just basically pour the alcohol in.
And how much is it, the ticket to ride in one of these?
Around 50 bucks, but what you always got to do is get on Travelzoo or Groupon or Living Social, and they'll always have coupons. I got my tickets for about $35.
Ah, I see. We were actually looking for deals like that, and then we found Puppetry of the Penis for half off is the best deal I could find. But anyway, continue on. It's a long story.
And what a deal that
is. Oh, it's such a good deal. I can't believe we passed it up. Anyway.
Right. So we head into the lounge. Everybody else has already gone up there because they have to go to the bathroom. James and I are sitting there. And I believe at this point, people who are left, it's Tony, John, James from Same Sex Mary with me, obviously, Mike and Angela, Mike Crosley and Mitsula. So almost everybody's still left at this point except for Scott and Kim and Steve and Lynn.
Yeah.
And aside from me and James, everybody's in the bathroom. First guy to come out of the bathroom is Mike of Mike and Angela fame.
It's perfect because he has the kind of face that I can totally picture when this happens. So go ahead. Yes.
He walks over and he comes out of the bathroom. We see him immediately. And he's got this look of shock and horror on his face. An amazement. I mean, it is like he is astounded by something. Okay. So he walks over to us.
Yeah.
And he just goes right into it. So let me tell you what, and I'm gonna do this as close to verbatim from him, his description as I can.
All right.
So let me tell you what was there to greet me when I walked into the bathroom, Brian. There's a guy in a very nice green button-up Hawaiian shirt standing there with his back to us at the sinks and not wearing anything else.
So he's bare butt.
The waist down,
yeah.
Bare butt. Not you know, no pants, but he's wearing underwear. No, no pants, no underwear, no socks, no shoes. Just like naked as the day he was born from the bottom down.
All right.
And he's at the sink furiously washing out his underwear in the sink. Scrubbing them. And by what was left in the sink,
oh,
he could tell that this guy was dealing with a number two situation.
Something had gone south for him, sure.
Something had gone very south is the right, yeah. All something right. had gone far south.
Okay.
And so everybody, you know, they're all European, they're all at urinals, and probably it's quiet as hell in that.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Sure, nobody's saying a word. Like,
oh my gosh, I wondered if there's music. I'd like to know if there was, like, you know, Barry Manilow or something going on the speakers. Yeah.
And so they, you know, they're sitting there all in the bathroom, and this guy goes from the sink into the stall that he's kind of, I'm sure, reserved, yeah. that he's kind of taken ownership of,
yeah.
walks in there and goes, oh, God. Because what we can assume is maybe his underwear is at this point relatively clean, but he still has his pants and probably his socks to deal with. All we can, here's our best Sherlock of what's going on.
Right,
here.
Right.
Oh, at this point, by the way, Tony mentioned that he said, ah, Vegas, I love you.
The guy in there?
That was the one thing any of them said at that point.
That guy, who said this? The guy said
Tony
that?
No, Tony Sandoval said that.
Oh, I thought the guy said it.
The guy walked in and said, oh, God, I think at that point Tony said, ah, Vegas, I love you. So what we're imagining, and I don't think it's that far a stretch because, just because of the proximity and the amount of time, but we're guessing that this guy got into one of the pods on the high roller.
Oh.
30-minute ride, no bathroom in these pods.
Yeah.
And basically, whether it was 5 minutes in or 25 minutes in, immediately had to go to the bathroom. And there was nothing that was going to be stopping this guy.
And I assume he doesn't have it to himself. It's not just him and the barkeep, right? It's a whole
probably
thing.
Probably not. And this may not have even been a drinky car. It could have just been like a regular car. But
yeah
I mean, it, you know, there was anywhere from 5 to 20 people in that car probably with them. Just based on, I mean, we were seeing a lot of cars that just had couples in them. We were thinking, all right, couple, they're going to go get it on in the car. But yeah, that's a whole other story.
Dude, a half hour, you can, a lot can happen in a half an hour.
They have cameras in there now, and they've busted people. There's a whole story about that from last year where somebody did that. And
really?
It went really bad for them. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like they got in huge trouble for it, or?
Yeah, well, she was there for for her wedding.
Oh, no.
And he was not, he had just met her an hour earlier.
Wow. Wow.
And they hooked up and did in the pod. They got caught, they got busted, and I think he was, they both went back home. He was found dead in Chicago like a year, or, you know, 6 months later or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it was like, yeah, there's some dark stuff with that one.
That is super dark. Wow.
But our guess is that, yeah, he got around that, and all we can do is visualize this ride going, and it's like the South Park episode with the human centipede and the cuttlefish. All we can think about is like, oh no,
I should not have had the cuttlefish.
Like everybody on one side of the pod quietly watching this guy, like not able to enjoy the sights and sounds of nighttime Las Vegas.
I would demand my money back the second I got off that thing. I'd go, you know what? Jimmy over there took a dump, so we want our $50 back. That's what I would do.
Because you kind of got to, again, we're doing Sherlock on this thing. It's like, all right, well, if he just pooped his underwear, easily, you just leave the underwear in the nearest trash can. You go commando for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
But the fact that he didn't have his underwear, his pants, his socks and shoes on, I'm thinking a majority of those items had been fouled.
Yeah, this has gone real, and he was probably drunk at three sheets to the wind, and
probably
just a complete mess. That is just a nightmare if you're in that car. Now, you guys catching it sort of after the fact, is kind of great in its own right.
Right.
But I am so glad it wasn't the car you were in. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, no. Well, it would have been great to talk about on the show. But, yeah, no, I'm glad it wasn't either. And the best part was, so James and I, so Mike comes and regales us with this story.
Yeah.
And then all we can do is sit there as one by one, Mike Crosley, Mitsula, John, all come out of the bathroom with this look on their face. It's like, all right, we already know the story. Let's look at the next expression of the guy coming out of the bathroom and see what's going on.
Oh my gosh.
James and I, for a second, and I swear to God, for a second, we said, do we want to go in there and just check this out so we can see what's, you know, see it for ourselves?
Yeah.
And we're like, I kind of want to, but I kind of don't want to either.
So did you not? You didn't go in there.
We did not go in there.
I don't blame you. I don't think I would.
And it wasn't until about an hour later that I thought, geez, you know what I should have done is I should have popped down to the, there's a gift shop that you come out of, when you come out of the ride, you go right into a gift shop.
Yeah.
As you always do.
Sure.
I could have easily just picked this guy up a pair of My Little Pony shorts or something like that for $5. And taking it up there and said, hey, here, hey. Good Samaritan.
Yeah, hey, wait, listen, buddy, whatever you're going through, I feel for you.
Right,
here you
exactly.
go.
Exactly, because I don't know where you're going from here. He's going to come out of that bathroom with like an entire roll of the wave your hand and pull out some hand-drying paper towels wrapped around his lower half.
I mean, part of me was like, after you told me this story initially, part of me was like, oh, I should have hung around with these guys the rest of the night. I would have been able to see this thing. And part of me was like, no, you wanted to go to bed. But here's the worst part. I leave you guys, and I get back to the hotel at about 1, and we go to use the elevator. I, by the way, total elevator nightmare near miss for me. So we have these near misses at Vegas. You had yours with the poopy guy and the thing. For me, it was I go to the elevator. We're at the Grand down by Fremont, way downtown. Awesome place. Loved it. Everything was great. Except we walk in there to go to the elevators. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. People are coming and going. But everything seemed normal. I push the button, door opens. Or we wait a minute, comes down, door opens, get in, push it again. Floor 18, we're top floor of this 18-story place.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was up by the pool. And the door shuts, and it goes, and then goes, and makes a sound. And then a red light comes on with a weird icon I can't decipher.
Mm-hmm.
And the door, but then the door opens, and we're still on that main floor. So I'm like, all right, I think this elevator's bad. So we move over to the middle one, open it, or it's already open, go inside, push the button, shuts, goes, opens up again, and then sits there with a blinking red light. We go to the third elevator, there's 3. We go into that one, same exact thing happens. And I thought, what in the H is going on? So we go into the main area, and we talk to the lady there who did not know a ton of English at the desk. She was clearly very Hispanic in terms of language, and she just didn't know English very well, and that's fine. Except she really didn't understand what I was trying to tell her. It's like the elevator's just not working. It's blinking and it's not going anywhere. She finally kind of understands it, calls the maintenance guy. We sit down, just waiting to hear what's going to happen. We didn't know we were tip of the spear. Because then what starts happening is a throng of people, Brian, kids, old people, middle-aged people, people who were clearly asleep a minute ago.
Right.
Come walking into the front, all in their jammies. Everybody's in their jammies and socks. Come flooding into the front door from the building connected to us. And they're the same hotel. They're just in a different high-rise across the street. Right, they were apparently, somebody had pulled, some kid or somebody had pulled the fire alarm over there.
Oh.
And what happens is it sent all of them on a evacuation, whereas on the other side there was no alarm. But but the system locked the elevators down.
So it's like, well, we're not going to tell you what's going on, but you don't want to go up to your room right now.
Exactly. And then on the other side, there were people who were trying to get down and couldn't, so the phones start going crazy.
Oh, wow.
And now this place is just buzzing. I'm like, Kim, we were the first ones. We were like patient zero of this mess, right? Because we were the ones that discovered the thing. Anyway, eventually it gets worked out. We finally get up there at about 3:45 in the morning. I could have totally hung out with you guys the whole night.
You totally could have and should have.
I maybe should have. I mean, the only reason we didn't is we were like, all right, now it's vacation time. Let's go. It's me and Kim. The rest of the week, we got this. But at the end of that, I'm like, I spent half the night in the freaking hotel lobby just trying to get up there. Not doing anything with the magazine prints. Thank you very much. Anyway, there was that. So I'm trying to do this all chronologically.
Yeah.
How did it all end for you? Did it peter out after that? Did everybody get tired? Like, how did it go?
It's funny. It was like we'd go somewhere and we'd kind of shave off a person, right? Like Tony left. I want to say Tony took off after High Roller. No, he came with us to Casino Royale. We went to Casino Royale and played there. It's like, it, you know, as far as your Vegas casinos on the Strip, this one I think is the oldest and still feels like it's the oldest.
Is that the one where...
Maybe not the oldest.
Is that the one where Mads Mikkelsen will take a little bag and a string and whack you in the nuts while he's sitting in a chair?
Blood is dripping out of the corner of his eye. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He bled tears. That guy's great.
Bled tears.
Yeah, yep. Anyway.
Or cried blood, one of the two. But, but yeah, so we went to Casino Royale. There was a White Castle there. We sat there for... I don't know, 20 minutes watching Mitsula angrily play a Betty White slot machine waiting for a bonus to come up.
It's awesome.
And it was few and far between. It was he deserved to be angry about it because it was bonuses were not coming up.
Also, Betty White, it's a Betty White machine? I don't get
what's
it.
That?
Is it a Betty White machine like dedicated to Betty White?
Yeah, it's a Betty White slot machine. So like it's one of those video slots, and like, you know, you get five Betty Whites in a row and she goes, "Oh, isn't that nice?" and stuff like that. And she's and it's like, you know, she's reading from a book of bedtime stories, but they're all like there's some weird sexual innuendo that she kind of brushes off every time. Yeah, there we go. Somebody actually just put a photo up. Captain Kipper just put a photo up in the chat room.
Oh my gosh, there it is. Oh no! Wait, this is something with a. This is something else. What's he? What did he put in here? It's a. GIF.
No, that's it. Oh well, you're gonna need to.
Am I in the wrong chat?
The newest one that he just put up. Yeah, it's in the.
Oh, this one's video. It says.
Oh, okay. It's a video of the Betty White slot machine.
Okay, let's take a look. Here, chat. You guys can see it as I see it. Just pull it up here. Global Gaming Expo 2016 slot previews and industry talks. Betty White story time. So this is the one.
This is the one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Look at her sitting there. All 90 years of her.
Right, yeah.
All right, and she's got her little photo and little puppies. This must be... Okay, here we go. See if we can get anything going. Just get a little bonus, a little something-something.
Of course, the bonus comes up the gaming expo.
Yeah, that's true, because they're showing off their best work, right? Yeah, well, anyway, so that surprises me. I saw a lot of weird things like that. Like, there's a Three Amigos slot machine, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, Gremlins has a slot machine. Walking Dead slot machines are all over the place. Mm-hmm. I did really well with some Willy Wonka machines on the last day. Oh, actually, even better with a Sharknado machine.
Oh,
dumb movie,
gosh.
But holy cow, I turned $40 into $350 at a Sharknado machine, and that's like, all right, I'm done. Thank you, Tara Reid and Ian Ziering, or whatever your name is.
Ezra Ziering. Well, that's exactly. Good. So anyway, so I didn't mean to interrupt. So he's playing that. He's mad at it. It's not giving him what he needs. And
we go get some White Castle sliders. We make our way up to the Venetian and the Palazzo. We take an Uber from there out to a very, very off-strip bar. Courtesy recommendation of James from Same Sex Mary. And at this point, it's pretty much down to like the four or five of us. It's me, Mitsula, Mike Crosley, James, and John from Kentucky or Tennessee.
Tennessee, right? Yeah. No, wait. And Kentucky, right?
Kentucky.
Yeah, Lexington. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Lexington. Okay.
Kentucky, right? Ah, crap.
Kentucky, yeah.
We got to remember this, right? Let's just say it this way. He's a Southern gentleman with a hell of a golf swing.
He absolutely is. Yeah. And so it's the four of us at this place called the Huntridge Tavern. This is one of those places that if you didn't have lung cancer before you walked in, you'll get it before you leave. But drinks were cheap and we're getting $3 vodka tonics and James is getting stuff. I mean, we're all sitting there drinking. We're doing periscopes outside, watching the sun come up.
Wow.
Over Vegas, and that's actually when we hear about what happened with you, I think, via Twitter or something.
Oh, yeah, because I probably tweeted about it in the morning or something. I don't know what I did.
Exactly. Yeah, it was about that time that we were outside, and then we just said, all right, well, you know what? Let's go get some breakfast. We rattled around a couple ideas, and the things we were thinking about weren't open. We really wanted pancakes, but Dupars is gone, and Eat wasn't open yet, so we decided to make our way back over to the Strip, over to Paris, and Mon Ami Gabi, which is their nice fancy patio restaurant outside, or has inside and outside seating. And we sat there and we had a lovely Benedict breakfast and then kind of all went our separate ways. Oh, I take that back. We actually played some Pop-O-Matic Trouble Craps after that. And then we kind of all went our separate ways.
And that's the one with the little plastic dome where the big dice roll around in it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can sit there and be chatty and you don't feel like you're, irritating everybody else by not talking about craps at the craps table.
Sure. Sure.
But we'd had enough of craps overnight.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Craps came up.
So the only other thing I wanted to mention before I forgot is It seems like there's always a musical anthem to Vegas for me. Whenever I go, it's like a Katy Perry song is big right now.
Katy Perry. It seems like everywhere you go, it's Katy Perry.
Or whatever, right? One. Yeah. But this time it is that Rihanna work song that's always on. Oh, my Lord. Every 5 feet, I heard that song being played. And it's I find that song grating and horrible. I can't freaking stand it. It's fine, you know, Rihanna, whatever, if you're a fan. But I am just saying it is annoying to hear it all the time. So one of the best moments in the entire thing was Thursday night before I set fire to the Bellagio Hotel.
That's right. Can we just get on the record right now? We had nothing to do with that. I was already out of town by the time that happened.
You have full alibi. You were on a plane and out of there. I was there, but we were back at Fremont, thankfully. Barely missed the shutdown of the strip.
They shut down the strip. Like traffic, nothing moving. So if you didn't get out of there, you were you were locked in.
You were hosered. But anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say that I forgot. We're down on Fremont, and in between all that, work, suddenly the big overhead dome video switches to a big Don Rickles tribute. I told you about this on Saturday, and it was great. They had jazz music and like Sinatra stuff, and then clips of him on The Tonight Show saying something funny or roasting what's his name or whatever. Just this big montage, and then a little final thing with him and the date he was born and died. And I just thought, well, this is great. And then after that, they played some, like, you know, nice swing band stuff. And I thought, now that's Vegas. And then not 10 minutes later, I'm walking past one of the DJ areas. Work. Someone's playing that again. That was everywhere, that song. I don't understand why.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised hearing about that because for other people, for other kind of Vegas celebrities, I mean, I realized Don Rickles was way more than a Vegas celebrity, but I think he did. He put his time in Vegas too, doing shows and stuff there. Mm-hmm. But like,
he used to open for the Brat Pack and stuff, or Rat Pack.
I want to say that he did. Yeah. And Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. Mm-hmm. had the lights dimmed on the strip when they passed away, and Ronald Reagan and Elvis Presley and, Tarkarian, or who's Tarkanian, Jerry Tarkanian, the UNLV coach.
Oh, gotcha. Khaleesi Targaryen.
Khaleesi Targaryen. Got it. But I think they should have dimmed the lights on this trip for Rickles.
Yeah, that'd have been cool. Maybe they did and I missed it. Maybe it happened before because he died, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. But anyway, I really liked Don Rickles and that was awesome. But then
one more quick thing.
Anyway.
One more quick thing before we get to Daryl. So I'm sitting at McCarran Airport, getting ready to fly home. This is Wednesday night at about 8:00. Sitting there, and I think I'm watching Iron Fist on Netflix on my iPad, or getting ready to download something so I have something to watch on the plane. And a guy wearing a Southwest Airlines outfit, comes up to me.
An outfit. Sounds like cosplay, but go ahead.
A uniform, a costume. comes up to me and says, "Are you Brian Ibbett?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am." He's like, "Oh, just want to say I love your show, love what you and Scott are doing, love the morning stream in Coverville and, you know, everything Frog Pants. I just want to come over and say hi and say thanks."
Oh, that's so cool.
And nothing makes you feel more like a big shot than when you got a crowd of people around you in the waiting area at the gate.
Yep.
And somebody comes over and is like, "Are you Brian Ibbett?" And shakes my hand. And we're like, "Oh, dude, nice to meet you." And the guy's name is Jay. Yeah. We're in Southwest. And I just want to give him a big shout out. And after he left, you know, I'm sitting there, I put my earbuds back in, but I could kind of tell everybody's like, who the hell is this fat schlub? And should we know who this guy is?
Yeah, he looks like he's been in the same clothes for 2 days. Who is this guy?
He smells like he's been in the same clothes.
So. That's amazing. No, that's so cool. I would love it when that happens. Happens here and there, and it's always
makes you feel like a big shot.
Always nice. Well done, Southwest. You're doing better than United on many fronts.
Yes, you are. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We missed that whole mess. The only other thing I would say is Container Park is awesome. If you're in downtown Vegas, go there. It is great, and they have this Mexican place that just opened there called, I forgot, but the tagline is Mexican food made by real Mexicans, and it is the best taco I've had, and I can't tell you how long. And they got a giant fire-breathing bug in the front. And that place is awesome, and I want to buy a container and build something out of it because I loved my time there. And downtown was great. I think the whole Fremont area is just really cool these days, and I can't say enough about it, although there were some weird-ass people.
Yeah, the people on Fremont Street are they don't change.
Nope.
The rest of Fremont Street gets improved and cleaned up and, you know, get deluxed, but
yeah, it was rough, some of it, but it's fine. And there's so many other things to mention. I could go on for days. Yeah. I had a race.
I'm sure we'll bring up stuff.
Yeah, I think tomorrow I'll bring up the race relations thing that happened in an elevator.
Oh, cool.
That I'm still puzzled about. I still think I'm supposed to learn something from it. So we're going to talk about it tomorrow when we get a chance. Today's all about Vegas and Daryl, really. That's what today is. Screw the
news. Kind of is, yeah. We've even got like news stories that we're probably not going to get to today, are we?
Probably not, or I don't know, maybe we'll throw something in and then do another one after.
Lightning round the news?
Yeah, something like that. In the meantime, though, I should really be ahead of myself here, and I'm clearly not. We're going to bring Daryl in. He's going to talk to us. We're going to have some fun. We even have stuff to eat. Where are those? Oh, they're in the room, but I can grab them. Daryl Skills. Here we go. All right. Sending him a link. He's on his way. Here's his theme. Oh, wait. That's not working. You know what? Let's pause. It'll work. All right. Here we go. Here's his theme. Right here. Hello, Daryl. What are you doing? Daryl?
I'm sitting here. Hello.
Hello, Daryl.
Sorry. We went real long on our Vegas talk, so it's not your fault. But you've been waiting very patiently. How are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you literally surrounded by people today, or what's going on? You got people all around? Is that what's happening, Daryl?
Around.
Okay. Okay. Listening. Blink twice if you're okay.
Yeah, you okay? Are you going to have to wear a flag upside down? Send in the trouble? All right, well, it's Daryl Skills, everybody. He's here to play a little game with us that we like to lovingly call Stump Daryl. And it involves you. You guys call in, and we take your call, and then we do this question, and you can win a prize package. That number to call is 801. Oh, it'd help if I had this thing open so I could take your calls. It's 801-895-4724. 801-895-4724, and we have a caller.
And launching Skype is a great way to clear the lines.
Yeah, it really is. I'm going to start doing that from now on, because why not? No other reason not to do it. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Brent, a.k.a. Cranky Pants, a.k.a. Milnick.
Well, hello, Cranky Pants, a.k.a. Nick, a.k.a. Milnick, and all those things. Remind us where you hail from. Where are you at?
Newark, Ohio.
Oh, that's right. You've called before. We've had you on before.
Yeah.
It's good to have you. Brian's going to explain these rules.
There's a Newark in Ohio?
Sure. There's one everywhere, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not like New Jersey.
Wouldn't you change your... I mean, come on, Newark. It's like, why would you want to take the name of Newark? Yeah. I'd be like, all right, we're going to change the city name.
It's all right. About 40,000 people. Nice town.
That's not bad.
Close enough to Columbus, not to have to deal with all the stuff there.
Yeah, the riff.
It's a nicer Newark.
Yeah, it's the riffraff you want to get away from is what I hear, is the riffraff. Yeah. Anyway, Brian, explain these rules, will you?
Sure. All right. So, Cranky Pants, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. He's going to give our answer. He's going to give his answer. We're not going to give our answer. That'd be silly. Then we're going to turn our spotlights over to you, and you're going to tell us whether the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct, today you win a big prize package, which includes a copy of Last Dragon on DVD, your very own Fidget Revolution, and a digital copy of Super Hoppin' Bop Ultra on Steam, courtesy of Jordan.
Nice. Pretty good, man. Pretty good package.
It's a big package.
What is Daryl's topic today?
Your topic today is DC Rebirth.
Ooh, DC Rebirth.
DC Rebirth.
Like Washington, D.C. or comics? I guess it'd be comics, wouldn't it?
Sure. Well, who knows? It could be the rebirth of DC.
Has Daryl ever gotten one right?
Has he ever gotten one right? No.
No, he's never gotten one right on money. But,
no, he's been close.
Okay.
And by the way, if that ever happens, and we bring this up every once in a while, but if that ever happens, if Daryl ever guesses the number right on the money, the player wins automatically.
Yeah, you get the win anyway. Daryl doesn't get anything special except our adulation. But
I'd probably give Daryl something. We'll throw him a bone.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll throw him a bone.
Copy of Last Dragon DVD and a Fidget Revolution for Daryl.
You got plenty of those. All right, well, let's get to the question. Daryl, are you ready for your DC Rebirth question?
I am Not ready, but go ahead anyway.
Sounds good. I have a feeling Janice and the whole office is around Daryl.
I picture for some reason a crowd of a bunch of people in business suits all just standing around Daryl's desk watching him.
Skills, I need that report by 3. All right, here we go. DC recently launched their Rebirth comics, or that series. They have reverted the numbering to Action Comics to its original issue, numbers after the New 52 ended. What issue of Action Comics went back to the original numbering?
They had the DC Rebirth crossover event took place across the entire DC lineup of comics, mm-hmm. and once it was over, they picked back up with Action Comics where it left off with what number?
Right. So we're looking for Action Comics number something is what we're looking for, and I'll give you a hint: it is somewhere between 0 and 2000. Nice and easy to narrow it down for you. Right. Yeah.
Now, as a hint, Action Comics 1 featured Superman, and that was way back in 1944, 46, or something like that. Earlier than that.
It was pre-World War II, wasn't it? 39, 39?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he was lifting up a car.
Yep, exactly.
So So Daryl, what do you think? What's your head tell you? What's your heart tell you?
I still insist that Vegas holds nothing for me.
Oh yeah, you don't like Vegas, do you?
Especially after those stories.
Vegas is
Daryl,
from.
The... You would have had a blast.
Yeah.
I think we need some reviews from Tony and John and Mike and James about the Vegas Iron Man. I'm gonna go on the record and call it Vegas Iron Man. Volume 1, because I think there are going to be multiple volumes of this.
Look what you're thinking
and
there.
And it may even be more frequent than annual. I think it was such a good time.
Wow. Yeah, no, it is it's fun with friends. I had a blast with Kim. If you're going to Vegas on your own, I don't know if I enjoy that very much, but
sure.
Even Brian can find, I mean, Brian's a weird exception.
I spent the second day on my own for a few hours, and I'll always still have a blast, but we never even made it to the Pepper Mill. Mm-hmm. We didn't spend any time downtown, and I wanted to do that, so we got lots of stuff. So,
what happened to the damn Serenity? What's the name of the restaurant outside the? What's it called? Serendipity. What the hell? It changed to some strip thing, and they don't have the pickup window anymore.
Don't get attached to anything in Vegas because it never lasts.
That's true. And there were still people lined up at the Pawn Stars place. I just wanted to yell at them and go, "You guys, that show sucks."
You're not going to see the people you think you're going to see.
No. Go to the toy store for the toy expert guy. That's a cool place. We went there.
There you go.
Yeah, yes. I like that. Anyway, all right, Daryl, number. Give it.
Okay. Let's see. It would be a high number.
It would.
You'd think, yeah.
I'm going to say it's in the 1,000s.
All right.
I'm going to say it might be high 1,000s, like 1847.
1847, a good year, also a Star Trek reference, and a number. That's just what we were looking for. Brian, is it 1847?
1847 is incorrect. Cranky Pants is the actual number higher or lower than 1,847.
I'm going to say I know less than Daryl does about this. So I'm going to guess, since there's more numbers lower, I'm going to say it's a lower number.
A lower number than that number. All right. Well, let's find out if that is correct. I have the means to which I need to do that. So here it is.
Congratulations.
Well done. Ooh.
You're a winner.
The correct answer is Action Comics 957. I'm going to say Daryl was closer than he maybe thought he was. So well done, Daryl. Nicely done. Mm-hmm. You get The Last Dragon, Federated Evolution, and a copy of Super Hop and Bop Ultra on Steam. That's care of Jordan. Big thanks to Jordan again for that code. All you need to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com, and he will get your address information.
Is that the country of Jordan that sent that in, or the city?
Yeah, it was the entire city of Jordan. No, it was the Jordan River up the road from me. All of those things sent it in. That is the daddiest joke of dad jokes you're going to hear today on the show, everybody. Well done, Daryl.
And by the way, if you want to get your own fidget spinner, I like throwing this out every once in a while, but if you want to get your own fidget spinner, go to fidgetrevolution.com, enter the code TMSFIDGET, and you'll get 15% off.
Nice.
And big thanks to Jose for sending that, and for Dodd for sending Last Dragon DVDs.
Yeah, many of them. How many you got left now?
I have 4 or 5 left. I don't know. I have 2 in the shelf because somehow 2 people have sent us copies to watch for FilmSec, which we've got on the calendar. We're going to be watching that one in May.
Yeah, soon, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. That's going to do it. Thanks for playing, everybody, and I'm hanging up now. I forget all these things I have to do. I'm trying to figure it out still. Daryl, you have to hang up on us because this thing isn't working.
We're going to eat something.
Yes. Sorry. Hey, yeah, look at this, you guys. Is it too early for a fish sandwich?
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich?
Nope, it's not. We're going to eat. So while you guys open your package, Brian, will you explain what it is? I have to grab it. It's in that room right there.
Absolutely. So we got... And I don't have the letter that goes along with it, but we got three flavors of Tim Tams sent to us by a lovely, lovely listener. We have Black Forest, we have Coconut and Lychee, and we have Salted Caramel. All flavors of Tim Tams, an Australian treat, where you can even bite off the ends and do the Tim Tam Slam if you have coffee handy.
Oh, yeah, and I do.
Cool.
I'm here.
What's your flavor of choice out of these three, Daryl?
Yeah, what do you like?
The first one, let's see. Why did I pick the first one? What's the name of the first one?
Black Forest?
Reminds me of ham, and I want some ham right now.
Right. Let's hope it's not ham flavored.
I had ham last night. Happy Easter, everybody, by the way.
Oh, yeah, happy post-Easter.
Bok, bok. All right.
Hope you thought of Sean Spicer when you were watching the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Here it is. This is it. This is a Tim Tam. Now, apparently you can get these at Target now, I heard.
Oh, really? So
it's not as novel. Not as novel as it was, but Australia for now. We're still going to treat it as if it's a delicacy from across the sea from the Queen's prison colony known as Australia. So here we go. Let's all take a bite of this Tim Tam. Now, is that marshmallow in there?
I think it's just cream filling.
But does a Black Forest cherry cake have white things in it?
It does, but it's just like a white vanilla frosting.
Mm.
Ooh, it reminds me of a mild cherry Oreo.
It's everything.
Chocolate covered.
It's everything I wanted it to be. It's really good. And Brian, did you suck anything through yours or no?
I didn't. It's too messy to do it right now.
Wait, how do you do that with this?
You're supposed to cut off the ends and use it like a straw with your coffee or something.
You bite off the ends and then you suck it through the cookie part.
Yeah. It's supposed to be really good, and they call it something. What's it called? A Tim Tam Bomb or something?
Tim Tam Slam.
Slam, that's it. Bomb.
My coffee's too low. It won't work.
Oh, well, see, look at you with your low coffee. Daryl.
Make sure your coffee's not too hot because it will hurt.
Yeah, it always will. I can't hang up on you, and I don't know why. How do I hang up on you now? I used to do this.
Are we gonna let him do a Google thing?
Oh, do a Google thing. Play a game. Look, I've been gone for a week. I had a great vacation. I never take time off, so for me, it's all new again. So, Daryl, give me your game.
Okay, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
I'm going to blank.
I'm going to blank. I'm going to poop my pants.
I'm going to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Disneyland, I think, would be the right
one. Oh, crap. You can take that one since you thought of it.
All right. I'll take. I'm going to poop my pants at Disneyland.
Yeah. You just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do? I'm going to poop my pants and go to Disneyland. All right, Daryl, who got it? Or no one probably, but what is it?
The number one query result is... I'm going to sleep in Spanish.
What? No, I...
People want to know how to say, I'm going to sleep in Spanish.
More people want to know that than, you know, want to see videos of everybody who ever said, I'm going to Disneyland?
I'm going to...
I guess so. That's really weird.
Sleep in Spanish. Okay, we're going to find out what this is. You ready? Here we go. I go to sleep in Spanish. I'm playing it. Put some... Okay. Oh, why is there music? Oh, is it a music?
Oh, that's the song I Go to Sleep by The Pretenders.
Oh. And this is a Spanish version of it.
That's the cover by Sia.
Oh, I like Sia.
Mm-hmm.
She turns me on. Just kidding. Daryl, hang up because I can't hang you up. Gaga, gaga, goodbye. See you later. Have a good day. Tell all those people to quit hovering around you. Bye. Okay, goodbye.
If we had more time, I would have liked to have asked him about the Star Trek Discovery thing because there was some... interview or tweet or something that went out over the weekend where they're saying that, we don't have a firm release date. We're going to release this when it's ready.
Really?
Yes. So,
we'll talk about it tomorrow.
2017 is not looking possible.
Or not tomorrow. We'll talk Wednesday with them about it and see what's going on. But we picked the wrong day for our Vegas stuff because there's no time for news. That's okay because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have Steven Schleicher. We'll talk about his stuff, which involves some news. And then we'll sneak some stuff in there. Don't worry, you guys. It's all going to be fine. But I need my music fix. And Brian brought it. So, Brian, what are we playing today?
Oh, we are delving into rock, country, blues, all jammed in together with a band from Los Angeles called Mystic Posse. This is from their album, their self-titled album, Mystic Posse, and it's made up of Michael O'Brien, who's the lead singer and songwriter, and Jackie O'Brien, who does vocals, percussion, and songwriting. They've performed in all over LA, the House of Blues, BB King's, the Whiskey, the Roxy, the Viper Room, all the places, all the time. They're joined by Mitch Quinn on lead guitar, Ken Johnson on bass, and Dave DiTommaso on drums. Here are the Mystic Posse and the song, What Are You Gonna Do?
All right, this will be that. We'll be back in a second.
You've got an evil disposition and a bad frame of mind. You've got a hold of key position. What you mean in a whole mind?
Is not serving time in some federal penitentiary is a huge, hot, heaping pile of horse.
The Geek has completely changed the lifestyle of the world.
This is the Morning Stream. Perfect and bitchin' and just delivering the goods at every frickin' turn.
All right, we're back, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there. And that song was cool.
Yeah.
Liked that a lot. I've missed the music, I have to be honest. Especially right? After a week of... Quack, 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 quack. Do you have any covers of that?
I don't. Nothing yet, but I imagine it's just a matter of time. I'm pretty sure that that's probably on the horizon, about 58 covers of Work, 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 Work.
Yeah, it's got to be coming at some point.
People are working on it.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's fantastic. Hey, everybody, look at this. From the windswept plains of Hays, Kansas, comes the one, the only, the Stephen Schleicher. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
How's it going, Major Spoiler Zone? You doing
good? It is good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. We've, I don't know, I missed the, I guess we had you last week, but
yep.
You were in.
Man, a lot of Easter things, driving around, doing things, family stuff.
Been busy. How was your egg time? Good time for Easter?
We went to the grandparents, or the kids' grandparents.
Yeah.
And so it rained nonstop on Saturday night. And so bright and early Sunday morning, sure enough, the Easter Bunny had been outside in all the mud and threw eggs everywhere. And
yeah,
the kids sure as heck had fun running through the mud collecting eggs.
Yeah.
And then we had to drive 5 hours home. So, good times. Thanks, Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Thanks. Bok, 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 bok. Yep. We all remember. Patrick Farm remembers. All right. Hey, Stephen, it's always good to have you on. We, of course, come on the show with you and talk about all the things pop culture related in the world of comic books, movies, and more. Of course, Star Wars Celebration just ended.
Yeah, some people were out gallivanting around Las Vegas, other people were attending the Star Wars Celebration Orlando 2017, things Star Wars were discussed.
Our very own Bill Duran was there as an attendee, and also a friend of the program, Anthony Carboni, did a lot of hosting and stage stuff, which was great. Good to see him doing that again this year. And they showed a trailer, and they had a big tribute to Carrie Fisher, and they had George Lucas and Harrison Ford on stage at the same time. The crazy stuff went down.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. You want to talk about the trailer? Where do you want to go?
Well, probably we should start with the trailer, because that was the big thing everyone was waiting for Friday morning. Mm. And, of course, Rian Johnson and everyone showed up for that. And the one thing we can say is that we will find out Rey's parentage in the movie. That is for sure.
Yeah. Oh, is it, so confirmed he said that? We absolutely going to find out who her parents are.
Yes.
It's kind of a weird thing to be excited about, to be honest. And I'm not, I understand
some people are,
it.
I mean,
I understand it because it's Star Wars. This is the saga. This is what we do in Star Wars. It's all about families and who's parents. I get it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's
like, now, have you guys seen the poster for the movie?
Maury Povich with how much parental distance.
It is like Maury Povich. Well said. It's like
Darth Vader, you are not the father.
Yeah, this is what this feels like. But the poster I've seen is the one of Luke's giant head next to, I think, Kylo Ren's tinier head.
Well, I guess that's my question, because when I look at it, I'm like, okay, if this is the Last Jedi and we're talking about parentage and we see Rey in the foreground holding her lightsaber, which goes from, what is it, red to blue or blue to red in that. You've got Luke Skywalker on one side, and then I can't tell if the other one, because it's, I don't know, maybe too small or whatever. I can't tell if that's Kylo Ren or if that's supposed to be Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, weird.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hear that theory. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, that's just what it looks like to me, and I know that Hayden was at Star Wars Celebration, which I don't think has been in years past.
No, he hasn't, and what's great about that is I think that's awesome, by the way, that he was there, and I think it's really great that the fans gave him a big reception.
Yeah.
The prequels get so much heat, and George Lucas said this last weekend, it's one of the quotes that stood out to me. He says, we took a lot of heat, we took a lot of trouble for those prequels. He says, but I didn't make it for you, I made it for kids. And something about that helped me have some closure. It helped me go, well, all right, kids love that. And you did it then. So well done. And what am I complaining about? I got the Star Wars I wanted when I was a kid. How come these kids can't have the one they wanted? Weirdly, it was cathartic to hear George Lucas say that so matter of fact of a way. And it kind of humbled my nerd Star Wars rage a little. And then to see Hayden Christensen there made me just go, oh, yeah, give the guy some credit, dude. He had to don the thing and do the stuff and kill the Jedi children and make a real mess of things. Like, have them come out and be there. I think that's cool. You know, was totally down with it. Anyway, but that so we don't know who that is, but maybe that is him. That's interesting.
A lot of people are saying it's Kylo Ren, which it's hard if his face was turned maybe 30 degrees one way or the other, it'd be very obvious if it was Kylo Ren with the nose, mm-hmm. Straight on like that.
Yeah, he's gonna finish where he started. So that's the point there.
Right. I'm gonna go along with the crowd and say, all right, it must be Kylo Ren.
Hey, I missed the girls' finale, but then I remembered I've missed every girls' episode ever. So. Anyway, was he in that? Yeah. We know. Did we get Kylo Ren in the girls' finale? Because he's, you know, he was big on that.
Well, he had to finish what he started.
Yeah. well done. Anyway, trailer itself, it's just a teaser, you know, like whatever, it's fine. It hits all the notes you expect. It's fine.
If it's 2 minutes long, it's a trailer. If it's 15 seconds long, that's a teaser. Okay. I don't like that. All right. I mean, I don't know if we've had this discussion on this show, but we certainly had it on the Major Spoilers podcast about this difference between teaser and trailer. Mm. Yes, I could see that this is teasing you about things that are coming without downright spoiling the entire story, which I guess is what trailers do these days, is spoil the entire story so people know what they're getting into when they're going to go see this movie. But this, to me, excellent trailer. I loved it. I can't wait to go see this movie.
I hear some him and hawing from Brian. I got to hear what's the deal over there. How are you feeling about this trailer?
Oh, actually, you're going to know him and hawing from me. Yeah. I saw that video that I think you shared on Twitter.
I did.
Where they put the two up side by side. Or actually put up the Last Jedi trailer alongside pieces that they've put together from all the Force Awakens trailers to kind of make the parallels. I love the fact that just like the Force Awakens trailer, it opens with the slow music and then the big orchestra hit as you see what's her face's hand?
Ren.
Oh my God.
No, not Ren,
Ray. Ray's Ridley's hand.
Just
like you saw Finn popping up in the stormtrooper suit with the sand behind him. I actually really like that homage, or not really even homage. If that's a thing they carry through
For
this trilogy, totally okay with that. Okay. Love it.
All right.
Well, you guys are familiar with this ring theory that goes on with the Star Wars movies, right?
No, what's the deal there?
Where if you follow the storylines and very specific shots from the original three films and you compare that to the prequel films and then you look and see what they were starting to do in The Force Awakens, you'll see a lot of similarity in theme, tone, structure, and actual composition and framing of a lot of shots that kind of tell this story of this circular story of the Skywalkers throughout the seven films that we've seen so far.
Interesting. I've not heard that, but I'm bound to be a bunch of crap on YouTube by now that's going to flesh all that out, and I should probably just go follow it. I love that kind of stuff when I go, and I like to go down those rabbit holes. But this trailer itself, it was fine. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the movie, and I love Rian Johnson, but there's nothing about this trailer that was anything more than, I mean, you know, there's more Star Wars coming, everybody. We're going to get that continued story. The hype meter is not quite the same as a complete, you know, bombshell, which is episode 7, which is, you know, came out of this purchase by Disney and long work to work toward it and all the hype and lead up. This one's more like, all right, we're getting it. We're getting a second one. We all knew we were gonna. They're not giving too much away here. We at least get to hear Mark Hamill say some shit. Done. You know.
Now, will it follow the trend where the second movie is the best of the three?
I hope so.
With the Empire Strikes Back,
it would certainly be interesting because in the trailer, Skywalker does says, "I'm ready to end it all."
Yeah. Plus, listen, like Rian Johnson, he knows how to make a dark chapter in a movie, like that's his thing. So they brought him in specifically for the middle piece. I feel like Brian's on the money there. I think this is the dark piece, and therefore will probably be the one that's a little bit more revered in the long run, because they usually are
the dark, just meaty content. Like, all right, we've already did the little happy establishment of all these characters in the first one. Now we have to put them in some crap.
Yeah, it's your middle. It's your middle act, and it's only it's usually only that way when the right director's involved.
Yeah,
like if you have, you know, what was his name for Empire? Larry
Kasdan.
No, he wrote the script, but it was director was. Old guy. Shit. Anyway, it wasn't George Lucas is the point. And he came in and made two that, and then three was this much more lighthearted. We're winning again. So this middle, the middle act is always interesting to me. And this is, I mean, that's my anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Irvin Kershner.
Yeah, Irvin Kershner, that's it.
Kershner, right.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, there was that whole big question about whether the Last Jedi was plural or singular. Mm-hmm. And I think Rian Johnson was on Good Morning America last week and said, oh yeah, that's all unimportant stuff, but for me it means singular.
Oh, he really said that, just straight up?
Yeah, just straight up. Well, they asked him about it, so they, I'm sure, yeah, one of the hosts said, so what is, you know, is it the Last Jedi singular or is it plural or blah blah blah? Yeah. And he says, oh, it's
plural
for me, it's irrelevant, but I've always considered it to be singular.
Okay, if he says that, then I think we can probably count on that. Also, yeah, I would be annoyed by the morning person asking him that question, but anyway. Right. So all right, so we know that's good. What else do we know? We know Carrie Fisher is not going to be in episode 9.
Right. So there was some talk from Carrie's brother, Todd, had said last week or a couple of weeks ago that he said for sure that Carrie would be in episode 9, even though she passed away before any footage could be shot. The Kathleen Turner was on ABC News and she said, no, that is not true. Carrie Fisher will not be in episode 9, but we're going to see a lot of her in episode 8.
That's awesome. And also, I love her tribute they did. That video is wonderful.
Yep.
Like, it's maybe my favorite thing of the entire celebration, the entire event, because it just showcases her in all the ways that you've heard about her. Like, on the one hand, she was super sweet and cute and she's 19 and just getting started and kind of shy in front of the camera and this and that and the other. And then as time would go on, you'd see her flipping people off and being funny and, you know, hearing people say stuff. It was just a little cringy when Harrison Ford was talking about her because of what we know about her and Harrison Ford. From her recent book. So I was a little cringy about that. Here's this guy that was married at 34, had 2 kids, and was having an affair with this 19-year-old actress going, oh, yeah, I really, you know, I miss her. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course you do, you horny old weirdo. Like, some of that stuff was rubbing me weird. But the rest of that video was awesome. I had a little, I won't lie, I got a little tear there at the end there. It's good stuff. People should check that out. Also, George Lucas's neck is freaking me out these days. Something's going on in there. He's got an extra person in there. Something's happening. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, no body shaming here. Hey, Star Wars Rebels ends after season 4. That's a bummer for fans of that thing.
Yes and no, because with everything that went on in Rogue One and knowing where season 3 ended, where we are right on the verge of the Rebel Alliance fully forming, they really couldn't do any more or very many more seasons without it bumping into what happens in Rogue One. And so they did announce that after season 4, which will have 15 episodes coming later this year, it will definitely bridge that gap between season 3's ender and Rogue One and the little one shot that you see of the ghost in the big armada for Rogue One. So it's going to be sad. I got to say, if you guys haven't been watching Star Wars Rebels, the first season, the first half of the season of season 1 is really, really bad. But after that first half of season 1 and you get into the rest of the episodes, it is straight on a really great Star Wars story.
Clone Wars was like that too. Like, kind of crappy in the first season, half season, whatever,
movie,
and then it got better.
The
and
that movie before was, the series was kind of crappy.
That movie was awful. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I guess I should.
Wish it was streaming somewhere. You know, if you don't have Disney XD, you know, haven't paid for that channel, you can't see the stuff streaming. I think I just have to break down and buy like the box set.
Yeah.
Yeah. iTunes has it digitally if you want to buy it that way, if you're not a physical media fan.
Mm-hmm. Amazon as well. They have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to watch it. I've not seen a single piece of it, and that's weird because this is normally something I would just eat up and follow as it went, but probably the same reason Brian's talking about it, I don't have XD, and so I don't really have an easy way to consume it. But wasn't it streaming for a bit on Netflix or something and then got yanked? A season 1 or 2 was on there or something. Somebody had it for a minute, for a hot second, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Maybe I'll look it up on watchit.com.
Watch it.
Watch movies.
But you're saying season 1 is...
I thought it was streaming
somewhere. The first half, especially when you get to meet the main character, and he's just, I find, super annoying, and it feels very juvenile for the first half, but then all of a sudden it gets to the seriousness of, hey, this kid's lost his family, he's an orphan, and here's an old Jedi, or a surviving Jedi Knight, that they're trying to go on these missions, and then as they think that they are trying to protect his planet... But then as the series progresses, you suddenly realize, oh, no, they're working for the Rebels. And this turns into a big, here's how the Rebel Alliance is starting to form and all of the characters involved with it. So, I mean, there are points in the entire run from season 1 to season 4 where Darth Vader shows up. Admiral Thrawn is a big person in season three. You start to see the Mandalorians become a big part of this, and you get to learn more about their story. And so it's really good.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I think I'm actually going to pick this up streaming. Usually I do like the digital media, but or the physical media. But in this case, this is something I'm going to want to watch on my iPad, and I don't need to watch it on the.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this is a Freddie Prinze Jr. voiced deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh huh.
All right. How's he? Is he good?
He's really good. Yeah. I mean, Freddie Prinze Jr. does a great job in all of his VO roles. Yeah. And he does an excellent job here.
Okay. Well, I've seen Wing Commander, so I just wanted to make sure, because that movie sucked. All right. Well, this is all good and well. any other thoughts about the whole Star Wars thing? Anything big takeaways for you as a connoisseur of such things?
Well, I think that we are going to hit the point now. You know, if you remember with Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, there were a couple of years in between each of those films. Mm-hmm. Disney's just throwing this on top of us year after year after year. And even though there's 2 years since Force Awakens and Last Jedi, we still had Rogue One there in the middle, and we'll have the Han Solo movie coming up right after that. Mm-hmm. So we're getting stuff every year, and I think that we may hit Star Wars fatigue from the audience standpoint in the next year or so.
Yeah, I worry about that a little bit too. I mean, I don't
But hey, Star Wars.
Yeah, it's Star Wars. What are we complaining about? It's an embarrassment of riches. Everyone enjoy. Right. I think a live action show on TV on a cool network like FX or something would be awesome, where they can explore some things that they can't do in the movies, longer term arcs and things like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Again, that's what's going on in Star Wars Rebels, and I was thinking about this the other day, is that yeah, it would be cool to have a live action television show, but the budget for that would either be so high to make it impractical, or it would be so cheesy that you'd have so many bottle episodes that people would get tired of it. And so it almost makes sense to keep it in the animated side, where you can go anywhere and do anything and populate it with a cast of millions if you need to have a giant battle scene. That you really couldn't do practically in a live action universe.
But I'll bet you could go half the budget of Game of Thrones, have it look good enough, 12 episode seasons, and it would be the biggest thing on TV. Like, it'd have to be well made. I mean, it has to be well written and all that. But I think they could pull it off. I think it's just a matter of somebody, you know, Disney saying, let's do it. And then, and
they've already shown that they
can still bring back B. Arthur.
Right. That's true.
We'll talk you over business here. Yeah. They've already shown that they can do compelling storylines that don't involve the Skywalker clan.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, with Rogue One. So I think you're right. I think like a Star Wars universe live action story thing like that would be fantastic.
Sure. When this Rebels thing ends and it's all we're done with the cartoon heads, let's move on to some live action, some flesh and blood human beings. Let's do that.
They've talked about that before. They've talked about doing stuff set on the main planet or the the government planet,
Coruscant.
Yeah, they've talked about that before. They've talked about something that takes place in the way outer rims that has no connection with anything going on except for an Empire presence. But every time that they start talking about it, it suddenly goes away because of reasons.
Yeah, damn reasons. I hate the reasons. They're the worst. Well, all right then. This is all good. And all of this was covered in pretty good detail over there at majorspoilers.com, as well as at Major Spoilers on Twitter, which you can always follow Stephen directly there. Stephen, anything else people should be on the lookout for on the site?
This week, we are taking a look at JLA The Nail, an Elseworlds series from back in the day about what would have happened if the Kents had not discovered Superman when he crash landed into Earth when he was a young baby. We'll be talking about that on this week's Major Spoilers podcast.
I'm really interested in that. I didn't know that. Is that a thing? I can get that.
Yes, and there's a sequel called Another The Nail.
Ooh. So what, like some biker gang finds him as a kid and raises him as one of their own, or what happens?
To be honest, it has been so long since I found it. I think it's just another family that finds him and may have some different values and different ways of approaching it.
Oh, I really like that. Well, like a little Amish family should find Superman, see what happens
then. And also, it totally changes the way the Justice League is formed and everything.
Dude, if an Amish family found Superman as a baby, he could milk the shit out of a cow.
Not a whole lot of Amish Amish people here in Kansas.
That's true. But what if he landed in Pennsylvania, like Pennsylvania Dutch country, and he's down there and they're, oh, it's 4:30, time for milking, Clark, and he goes out there and just rips those udders to shreds, man.
Oh, another barn. Can't put up another barn in like half an hour. Great, thanks.
You've done it again, Clark, or whatever name they'd give him. Jebediah, you've done it again. You've ruined the cow. Oh, Father. Oh, that'd be a great idea. Anyway, or the worst idea I've ever thought of. Hey, Steven Schleicher, everybody. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Check him out. Steven, take it easy. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
See ya.
All right. Hey, we are going to do a couple of these quick news stories.
News or email?
News. I'm going to do a couple news stories, then these emails, and then we're going to get out of here. I think I'm going to do one. I'm going to tell you about this old lady. And I'm going to tell you that the news today, even though it's at a weird time, is brought to you by.
Oh, brought to you by, after 40 years working with landscapers and groundskeepers, my stepfather has decided to retire, but he hated it. So instead, he's making his years of knowledge available online. Come and say hi at, quote, myturfandgarden.com for professional answers and small business customer service combined with the ease of online ordering. We have what your lawn and garden need. That's myturfandgarden.com.
That's awesome. Emma Morano, the world's oldest person and last to be born in the 1800s.
Whoa.
That's a weird thing to hear.
Yeah, no kidding.
Has died at age 117.
Oh.
She was born on November 29th, 1899. There was a guy named Prince back then that said they were going to party like it was 1899.
That's right.
Miss Moreno is believed to have been the last surviving person in the world who was born in the 1800s, while she died sitting in an armchair at her home in Verbania in a town, it's in Italy, called Lake Maggiore. Or no, it's
Maggiore.
It's on a lake. That sounds like a nice place to die.
Yeah.
And live. Yeah. Her doctor, Carlo Bava, visited her nearly every day and said her condition had been normal until several weeks ago, but she is slowly fading away. I don't know what that voice is. He credited her longevity to eating eggs, going to bed early, and being single.
Being single is the interesting one. Like, all right, eating eggs. Okay, there's your protein. Go to bed early. Sure, you got to have a good night's rest. And being single.
Yeah.
That'll keep you alive longer.
Yeah, stay away from other people.
I think it's all those eggs.
Yeah. Marina, or Emma, what the hell are you doing? Drilling another one into the chair. Her diet consisted of several eggs a day, sometimes raw, despite health advice to the contrary. I eat 2 eggs every day, and that is it, and cookies. But I do not eat much because I have no teeth, she told the Agence France-Presse last September. So anyway, fare thee well, old lady who was 117. No more 1800s people. That's crazy to think about,
that
though.
That's crazy.
It's a long time ago. And we have a bad memory as human beings, and we're about to blow ourselves up again. That's going to be awesome. Hey, all right. Final note here from some emails. Got one from Ken. Ken says, hey, Scott, several years of crack abuse has withered my kidney into a blackened husk. I was desperately in need of a transplant, which was difficult because of my substance abuse issues. Also, my status as an abusive puppy mill operator made me unpopular to the community, to say the least. I was on death's door with doctors eager to take me off dialysis machines when an unknown saint of Romani or Gypsy descent offered me his kidney.
Wow.
I wish there was some way to thank him, but since he passed away from kidney-related issues. So there's a story for you, Ken. Now, wow. Ken, I'm going to believe that your story's true, that you got a kidney from a Romani, a.k.a. Gypsy person.
Yes.
That's kind of awesome.
That's really awesome.
But is that what also happens to your kidney when you do a lot of crack? It's a blackened husk? Or is this liver? I'm sorry. Husk. Or not kidney. Yeah, it is kidney. I didn't know that affected your kidneys.
It's a filter, so sure.
I'm going to get off the crack then. Jeez.
It's probably a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you really want a Romani a kidney? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what those are like. See?
Are you hoping for more emails?
I'm just trying to stir it up.
Place now, Scott.
I'm just stirring it up a little, get people going. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. When I was on Fremont Street, there was a big gypsy caravan. It literally said gypsy caravan, come right. and get your fortune
just like
told.
The one in Thinner. Like yeah. It says gypsy fair or something yeah. like that.
And I went there just to kind of check it out. Took a picture and put uh-oh on the TMS Twitter feed. But I went in there and there was some stereotypic lady in there all made up with the tons of jewelry and the 50 rings and a big crystal ball and the tarot cards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't me she's doing it.
She's about as Romani as Sean Spicer.
Exactly. And that guy is basically Frank Burns, somebody pointed out
oh,
the other
day. Oh my gosh. You see the photos of side by side.
Yep. He's Frank Burns. This is awesome.
And the person that he worships also worships a person named Donald. So
that's true.
There you go.
That's a good point.
Oh, did you hear? Because Houlihan was always after Donald Penobscot, and we know Donald's in love with a person named Donald, so.
Did you know this guy?
We're not going to have Pepsi with baby flavoring in it.
You hear his deal lately? When his thing happened?
No, but that we never did talk about the Burger King ad. We'll have to talk about that tomorrow,
okay,
too.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. But real quick, Alex Jones is in a court case for custody of his three kids. Mm-hmm. And in the case, he is arguing through his lawyer that he is, you know, okay to be custodian of these children, largely in part that his character, which the wife says is the problem, or not his character, but his, you know, who he is on the radio yeah, and stuff is yeah, part of the problem. Right. He is claiming in court that it's all made up and it's just a character anyway. So I would just like to remind people that think Alex Jones is feeding you the truth, you know, right. the denier of the children massacre in Sandy Hook, for example, that guy, mm-hmm. that's the guy. Is just making it all up, and we kind of all thought that anyway, but now it's confirmed. So quit believing his bullshit.
Exactly. And by the way, Larry is not a cable guy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Larry is not a cable guy. That's another good one. And I've got a message right here from Alex Jones. He sent this to me to tell anyone who still thinks Alex Jones is spewing truth. This is what he says about himself.
I can't stand you. You're idiots.
There you go. These are said it himself. So don't do that anymore. Got a final email here from Rocco from New York City.
Get a rope.
Yep. Hi, guys. I was just listening to TMS 1242, where you asked for feedback about the state blue laws, meaning the drinking laws. Mm-hmm. It's been tough being a New Yorker. Let me tell you what. There are fewer and fewer establishments open later than 4 a.m. as the years go by. It makes it difficult for a guy to get a drink when he wants one. My best, Rocco. Yeah, 4 a.m. That's tough
Rocco,
business.
Get some sleep, buddy. Yeah. I mean, I know I just had drinks after between the hours of 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. last week. But yeah.
Here's my advice. Get some sleep, be single, and eat lots of eggs. You'll be fine. Everything will work out.
That's right, yes.
Got a mashup I want to play from a fan who sent the second one from him, actually. This comes to us from Patrick Rudder. He calls them supercuts. Here it is.
I can't even walk to your arms, Lord.
Tom DeLonge. Hello there, that guy.
You know, there's a satellite over there on the other side of the moon that's in a geosynchronous orbit with the moon. We never see it. And the government is trying to cover it up. Oh, they're not even really bears. They're actually cavemen that have been uncovered in a frozen glacier, and they've been kept in a secret facility over there near Area 51.
Nailed it. Peschel, Peschel, whatever you say his name is.
Peschel.
Hello, Zeus.
Yes, Zeus. Hello, is this Zeus?
Hello, is this Zeus?
Hello, this is Zeus.
Can I speak to Zeus, please?
This is him. Take me off your profile. Okay. He's Paul Stanley now.
You know the chicken that they're selling at Subway?
Yeah.
Is part chicken and then part material that allows the government to control your mind.
Chemtrails. Tell them him ship shape and get going. Let's make this. This is Brian's wrestling impression mashup.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, it's very well done. Thanks for doing that. I love those. We have more and we'll play those as the week goes on.
Thank you, Patrick Rutter.
Two more things. The Overpants Overwatch tournament is a thing now. We don't have any details to give you yet on time or anything, but it is being built. We're going to have an Overwatch championship tournament just for funsies with a big prize package for the team that wins.
Well, that doesn't sound like it's just for funsies. That's for funsies and a big prize package.
Yeah, that's true. But mostly for, you know, just community good times. And you need to be a PC player of the game. We're not doing this for consoles just yet because they're two separate player bases. And if we did all three, that would be nuts. For now, but if we do it again, maybe we'll see how that works. But for now, it's the PC version of the game. It is Overwatch. It is a community Frog Pants tournament. There are already people forming teams. Details to come soon, so keep your eyes on the prize, and I'll let you guys know what's going on with that. That will be called Overpants.
Nice.
And
which
finally,
is what that guy on the high roller probably could have used.
Dude, there's no question in my mind that he could have definitely used some Overpants. I actually have a logo here I can show the chat room. Check this out, chat room. Oh, wait, it didn't work. Why won't it work? That's just wonderful. Hold on. Okay, there we go. See, check it out, chat room. Look at that. Overpants.
Yeah. Overpants.
Whoops, that doesn't look right.
Your pants are over.
Kiss your pants goodbye. All right, so that's coming up. More details soon on that. Next up, Brian, a reminder about the film festival this month.
That's right. Yes, we're coming up to about the a little past the middle of the month, and so you better be working, working on your April TMS Film Fest entry. The topic again this month is best and or worst gift. You can demonstrate how to give somebody a great gift. You can demonstrate how to give somebody a crappy gift, or if you're really adventurous, how to give somebody a gift that qualifies as both the best and the worst gift simultaneously. Wow. Winner gets a big old box of prizes. Courtesy of us.
Yeah, well, we don't know what that is yet, but we'll have it.
Oh, they're going to be awesome. Awesome prizes. Awesome.
Probably a Fitbit, not Fitbit, a spin, what's it called?
A Fitcher Revolution.
It'd probably be in there.
I bet we'll throw one in there, yeah.
Sure, why not?
But not a copy of Last Dragon. That's way better for prizes for this.
Someone in the chat, excuse me, just sent me an emo polka jazz version of the Work, 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 Work song. So let's see what this sounds like. This is great. Okay, I might be in love.
Oh, that's awesome. Is that the one from Jamie Nitz?
I don't know. Tronic Box, it says.
Oh, Tronic Box, yes. The one that... was sent by Tadpooler or Jamie Nitz.
Oh, yeah.
Or Jaime Nitz. It might be Jaime Nitz.
Jaime Nitz.
Jaime Nitz.
Jamie Nitz is what that stands for. Anyway, that's cool. Thanks. Hey, we're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for being here. It's great to be back. Full shows this week, everybody. No weirdness. It's all happening this week. Be back tomorrow for Justin, for Bill. We'll see how celebration went for Bill, and we'll see what Justin's been up to. Right here. Also, 3 p.m. today, the Hotline Monday will be happening. So come on back and check us out for that. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support the show. Big thanks to everyone who does. You guys are awesome. You've got about half the month left, so there's a chance for you to get in and be a part of the fun by supporting us at Patreon.com/TMS. And for all your other needs, that's emails and tweets and everything, you can find us at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, let's go. Oh, you got music? What do you got there?
I have music. Tom sent an email, said, during my high school years, 1986 to 1990, I probably listened to Jane's Addiction more than any other band to take me back to my years of pooping in other people's bathtubs. And as a gift to myself for my 46th birthday, which is today, April 17th, I'm requesting any cover by or of Jane's Addiction. Thank you, and happy birthday to me.
Aww.
Well, happy birthday, Tom. Totally happy to play a cover. And this one came up, actually. Hammond Chamberlain and I just recorded the Soundography episode for 1991. It's not going to go up until Monday, a week from today. By the way, today is The Outfield, so go check out soundography.com if you want to hear about The Outfield and learn more about them besides just that one song you know.
Jamie's on a vacation far away.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked a little bit about this album that came out in 1991. It was a Grateful Dead tribute called Dedicated and featured a bunch of different artists doing covers of Grateful Dead songs. Lyle Lovett is on there doing cover of Friend of the Devil. Basically a bunch of people who were popular all at that time in 1991, including this cover right here of by Jane's Addiction of the Grateful Dead song Ripple. I love this. This is... I think I might like this version more than the original, but this takes me back, all the way back to 1991, ladies and gentlemen. And here it is, Jane's Addiction.
Hello there.
Just kidding. That's not really him. That's for you, Tom. This is for your dedication, buddy. Tom DeLonge, writing into TMS. All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, could you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near?
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Skate, pal, while you still got your lips attached to your face.